Hi there, this is Chuck Swindoll. I'm pleased you're here for this Wednesday program as we look at the epic second chapter of the Gospel by Luke. It's the story of Christ's coming. And then, after you've heard from us, we would love to hear from you. So grab a pen and paper so you can be ready to write down our contact information at the end of my message. Okay? Let's get to it. Insight for Living.
In rare moments, we experience remarkable events that defy human explanation, other than the miraculous touch of God. It's as though the door of life swings open and God walks in. Well, during the next half hour, we'll highlight one of those celebrated encounters. Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message in Chuck Swindoll's four-part holiday series called From Heaven to Earth. We're in Luke chapter 2, where we read about that historic era when Jesus walked onto the human stage as both fully God and fully man. Before we begin, let's take time to prepare our hearts in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, how grateful we are that you gave us your very best gift. Having given us this earth and having given us our lives and having given us our families, you did not overlook the most important of all gifts, your one and only Son. And we thank you as we adore him and worship him, who is the Savior of the world. Thank you for his blood shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you that having died, he was raised from the dead, has ascended to your right hand, and there makes intercession for us. We anticipate his return when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. When the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, that we might be forever with him and with you. We find great comfort in that, our Father, since there is so little comfort to be found in the current events of our day. This old world has long since lost its way. Thank you for giving us a map to find our way back to you. We give our gifts today just as you have given us your gift, and having learned how to do so from you, we pray that our giving will be filled with joy and generosity and gratitude. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to a special holiday edition of Insight for Living. And now let's continue the message from Chuck Swindoll that was introduced yesterday, Birthing the Baby.
God just walked in. I couldn't help but think those four words best describe the Christmas message. It wasn't with the flare of trumpets, it wasn't with the flags flying, it wasn't with some announcement immediately given for all the world to hear, though he could have certainly done that. He just walked in. Isn't it remarkable how this little baby has captured our lives? Think of it, deity dressed in diapers. Think of it, majesty surrounded by the mundane. God in flesh, creator and king, who has entered the world born on the dirt floor of a filthy stable, born of a young woman we'd have to call a girl, hardly 15 years old, who first felt the flutter when God walked into her life 9 months earlier, told her she would be the one who would bear the child. The child Isaiah spoke of and wrote of. She finally became convinced, though she couldn't explain it. And as we have seen later, Joseph needed to be told. And as any man would understand, he struggled with what he heard. She slipped away for 3 months to be with Elizabeth for the latter part of her pregnancy, perhaps even helped in the birth of that little baby named John, and then found her way back, and after a quiet ceremony with rabbi and bride and groom, they were married. What an unusual marriage night they spent. He never touched her. He kept her a virgin till birth of the child. And he must have felt her tummy and realizing he had had nothing to do with this growing fetus. And then God stepped in. Amazing God in infant helplessness. But before we get there, we must pause and realize that the baby is to be born in Bethlehem, not Nazareth. How will that happen? Micah had prophesied it, but how could it be that a couple in Nazareth would be having this baby grow within her, and yet they're not in Bethlehem for the birth? And wouldn't you know it, as only God could do it, he stepped into the throne room of a wicked ruler like Augustus. Proverbs 21:1 makes a magnificent statement which must have rolled around in Joseph's mind. It reads, "The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes." Isn't that great? Augustus thought this was his idea, but it was the perfect way to get this couple from Nazareth to the hometown of their fathers and forefathers, to Bethlehem. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. We've heard it all our lives, but truth be told, we can hardly imagine a census like that. All the earth. Well, this man who leads the empire has that kind of authority. And we read, everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Imagine that. Millions of people on the road going north, south, east, west to places their fathers called home, where their roots were located, and the registry would contain their names. Joseph, almost with a shrug, says to Mary, "That means we go to Bethlehem." Many of the subject people chafed when the law was proclaimed. They said Caesar was not a just king to do this to them, even in a small town like Nazareth, which Caesar Augustus would not even know by name. The Jews said it wasn't fair. Joseph sought the local tax merchant, asked if women in advanced pregnancy could be excused. He was told that no one could be excused. Caesar had spoken. Even the lame and the blind were to report to the cities of their fathers. Many would need to be carried on pallets. Joseph consoled Mary by telling her that the ancient prophecy, in spite of their wishes, was coming true. Isn't it remarkable how God suddenly and in a surprising way stepped into their world. We have read the story so often that we have somehow missed the humanity of it all. For a moment, ladies, you who have borne children, try to imagine your firstborn. You're heavy with child, only days away from delivery, and you're sitting on the back of this lean donkey, if in fact you have a beast to ride on, and you're holding on for these 5 days traveling south to Bethlehem. Think of that. And Joseph holding the reins and looking back on occasion to see if she was quiet, wondering if he would hear along the journey, "The labor has begun. My water is broken." Thankfully, that was not given, and those words didn't come, and so they got to Bethlehem, and there was absolutely no place whatever for them. People were sleeping in the streets. There was no comfort. Worse than that, having a baby, there was no privacy. And there she was, according to this verse, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. We call it reaching term. She's never been through it before. There is no sound in heaven. There is no surrounding body of angels. There is not even a midwife. Just Joseph. Now, for a moment, I want you men to think about that. We are just about as helpless as we can possibly be when our wife is having a baby. We're glad of two things. Number one, it isn't us. And two, we don't have to know what to do. I remember when our firstborn came. It was way back in the time when they did not allow the dads to stay in the room once labor started. So they ushered us out into a place called a dad's den. That is a scary place to be. You got seasoned dads sitting in there watching all these young bucks walk in, acting like we're cool. I grabbed a newspaper, and an older gentleman sitting next to me looked at me over the top of his glasses and said, "This your first one?" I said, "Yeah, it is. Number 7 for me," he said. I said, "How'd you know it was my first one?" "Well," he said, "your newspaper's upside down." I was trying to act cool. But my thoughts were all about that labor and that birth and the one I adored. There were cattle. There were sheep, no doubt. There was manure and a mess. The only place they could find where she could have a semblance of privacy. A manger is a feeding trough. So perhaps straw was added to this rough trough. It would be his crib. We don't know how long the labor lasted. Could have been hours. The other evening, Cynthia and I were watching a program that was like a documentary. It showed a number of women in dangerous areas bearing children alone or with maybe another woman or two nearby on dirt floors in India, in Africa, fearful that the baby might be a little girl. Girls are not valued in parts of this world, and along with the discomfort and lack of privacy and the pain, there is the feeling, will anybody want my child? or let me keep her. We sat there. It was hard for me to watch some of that. I don't do well in that kind of setting. And I looked away and I thought about that. This couple. Look how simply Luke writes. He's a physician. Sounds like what a physician would write. And she gave birth. Because you never did, Luke. That's why you write it like that. You can't hear the anguish. You can't hear the crying. You can't hear the moaning, the groaning. You can't see the blood. You don't even have to think about the afterbirth. And will he be born breech? Will he be okay? She knew he would live. He's the Messiah, for goodness sake. But what a place to bear the child. Joseph did as best he could. He fetched the water and he helped her, and then she alone birthed the child and cut the cord. Cleaned the child up as best she could, and with cloths she had brought with her, she wrapped him. And she held him. And the baby screamed. I've always had a little trouble with the way in a manger and no crying he makes. I've never heard of a baby born that didn't scream to the top of their lungs. He screamed like any other baby. Of course he did. And she brought him next to her breast. And she nursed God in flesh. Imagine that. For the first time, we heard the voice of God through a human throat. She gave birth, she wrapped him, and then she laid him in the manger. There was no room anywhere else. Philip Yancey has done all of us a service simply because he writes. I think he has the freshest pen in town. I happen to own everything he's written and often reread some of the things. One of them is titled, The Jesus I Never Knew. Listen to Philip Yancey's words. The God who came to earth came not in a raging whirlwind or in a devouring fire. Unimaginably, the maker of all things shrank down, 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 so small as to become an ovum. A single fertilized egg, barely visible to the naked eye, an egg that would divide and redivide until a fetus took shape, enlarging cell by cell inside a nervous teenager. Immensity cloistered in thy dear womb, marveled the poet John Donne. He made himself nothing. He humbled himself, wrote the Apostle Paul more prosaically. Yancey says, I remember sitting one Christmas season in a beautiful auditorium in London listening to Handel's Messiah with a full chorus singing about the day when the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. I had spent the morning in museums visiting and viewing remains of England's glory, the crown jewels, a solid gold ruler's mace, the Lord Mayor's gilded carriage. And it occurred to me that just such images of wealth and power must have filled the minds of Isaiah's contemporaries who first heard that promise. When the Jews read Isaiah's words, no doubt they thought back with sharp nostalgia to the glory days of Solomon, when, quote, the king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones. The Messiah showed up, however, wearing a different kind of glory, the glory of humility. The God who roared, who could order armies and empires about like pawns on a chessboard, this God emerged in Israel as a baby who could not speak or eat solid food or control his bladder, who depended on a teenage couple for shelter, food, and love. In London, looking toward the auditorium's royal box where the Queen and her family sat that day, I caught a glimpse of the more typical way rulers stride through the world with bodyguards and a trumpet fanfare and a flourish of bright clothes and flashing jewelry. Queen Elizabeth II had recently visited the United States, and reporters delighted in spelling out the logistics involved. Her 4,000 pounds of luggage included two outfits for every occasion, a mourning outfit in case someone died, 40 pints of plasma, and white kid leather toilet seat covers. She brought along her own hairdresser, two valets, and a host of other attendants, a brief visit of royalty to our country from their homeland easily cost $20 million. In meek contrast, God's visit to earth took place in an animal shelter with no attendants present and nowhere to lay the newborn king but a feed trough. A mule could have stepped on him. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. God just stepped in. No one else knew it. Not even the innkeeper. Oh, I'm sure someone in that place where others were packed to the walls must have heard the cries. Somebody must have a child that has colic, perhaps they thought. And here they are, back behind the scenes, doing their best to bring a little comfort to their baby.
Royalty stepped onto the human stage that very first Christmas. And the birth of Jesus is the focus of our attention and affection this week on Insight for Living. For resources, go online to insightworld.org. As Chuck mentioned at the beginning of today's program, this is the time of year we need to hear from you. Whether you've been in touch with us consistently over the last 12 months, or only a few times, or perhaps not at all, there's no better time than Christmas to express your appreciation and support. And right now, we're saying thank you for your special year-end donation by providing a substantial hardbound book. It's the devotional from Chuck Swindoll called Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. You'll love having this book as a guide for your quiet times in 2013, providing a reading plan and inspirational thoughts, all based on the Old Testament book written by the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon. So when you give, request your copy of the book Living the Proverbs. Go online to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, you can give us a call at 1-800-772-8888. Proverbs is a book that addresses compelling real-life issues. It's practical, helpful, and wise. After all, we all have those days when small problems become crises, when we don't know who to trust or where to turn. Chuck?
Aren't you glad we know the end of the story? I cannot tell you the number of times Cynthia and I, as we share our morning coffee together, have declared our security in Christ once again. How often we use these words, God is sovereign. No matter how the urgencies of life try to rattle our cage. You know, if we allowed ourselves to react to every piece of bad news, we'd be shaken by the volatile political landscape all around us. And we'd be fearful of a war coming to our own country. But our hope remains in Christ alone. We serve a Savior who has orchestrated our rescue He's choreographed our ultimate victory. That's the message we declare and we celebrate every day on Insight for Living. And so as we finish up another year of ministry and begin to plan for a brand new year, you can have complete confidence that our daily times together will provide a peaceful harbor for you, no matter what storms may be sweeping into your life or ours. But right now, we need your help. This time of the year is critically important from a financial perspective. My friend, you and I know the end of the story. In the end, God wins. And no matter what comes, we'll anchor our soul in the security of His sovereignty, His comfort, His blessings, and His peace. I'm so looking forward to hearing from you today.
And here's how you can respond to Chuck Swindoll. Choose one of three ways to contact Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, you can give us a call at 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Remember, when you give, we'll be saying thank you by providing Chuck's helpful book, Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Chuck Swindoll's message about birthing the baby Jesus concludes Thursday, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Birthing the Baby, was copyrighted in 2011, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.